Last year, candidate Obama promised a future with jobs for all, but not any kind of jobs.
My presidency will mark a new chapter in America's leadership on climate change that will strengthen our security and create millions of new jobs in the process.
Green jobs. Wind farms, hybrid battery plants, geothermal, solar panel production, advanced biofuels, all opportunities for good, steady work.
I love my job. He loves his job.
$60 billion in stimulus money was set aside for green jobs. The question is, how many jobs and how green? On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, October 27th. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Coming up on the program, we're also going to look at contaminants in your walls. Chinese drywall is the latest U.S.-China trade dispute. A listener has a bankruptcy story that's much more than a cautionary tale. And retraining sounds like a good idea, but what does it take when you actually go back to school in a recession?
But first, Andrew Eder joins us. Andrew's a business reporter for the News Journal in Wilmington, Delaware. Andrew, we're talking about green jobs today, and in just a few hours, Vice President Joe Biden is going to visit a closed GM, General Motors plant in Wilmington, and he's expected to announce the plant is going to be reopened for building hybrid electric cars. So what's the unemployment rate in Wilmington, Delaware right now?
The unemployment rate is 13%.
13%. And how many jobs are they expecting to be created at this this Fisker Auto plant?
Well, we're waiting to hear, but we're expecting 2,000 or more if all goes according to the company's plans.
And according to what you've talked to around people in Wilmington, what's more important here, the green or the job?
Oh, I don't think people here care about what color the jobs are. They just want jobs.
Okay, Andrew Eder, stay with us. We're going to talk to him more about green jobs in just a few moments. But first, everything you need to know in the news this morning.
In the headlines, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is trying to convince moderate Democrats to support the health care bill headed to the Senate floor. It includes a public option that would let states opt out. But Republicans, not surprisingly, are doubtful. Here's Senator John Cornyn.
The government plan would not be just a competitor. It would, in fact, act as a predator.
Cornyn says a government-run insurance program would hurt private companies.
Overseas, a group affiliated with al-Qaeda is claiming responsibility for the twin suicide bombings in Baghdad that killed more than 150 people, including many children. The group calls itself the Islamic State of Iraq. And as we've been hearing back home today, the president will talk about clean energy when he tours a solar power station in Florida. Staying in Florida, NASA's newest rocket is ready to blast off on a test flight this morning, weather permitting. The Ares rocket is the first step in NASA's effort to return astronauts to the moon. Markets closed down yesterday. The Dow is going to open up at 98.68. The S&P will start trade at 10.67, and the NASDAQ starts at 21.42. So today our mind is on your job, your 9-to-5 job, and how your job and profession are changing because of the economy. Here's one story.
I am terrified. Could be part of a midlife crisis turning 40, but just knowing that I'm at a point in my life where I say, you know what, I want to do what I want to do.
And we're checking with you. Is your resume updated? Do you feel like there's retraining to be done?
People have like 4, 5, and 6 jobs in their career these days as opposed to years ago.
Oh, you mean on your resume?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
I mean, people change jobs a lot now. We want to hear your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Good morning. I'm Celeste Headlee. John, you know, the president is in Arcadia, Florida today. You may not have heard of Arcadia.
I did not hear that. I've heard of Arcadia. I did not hear
it. Have you been
there.
To Arcadia?
I've been to Florida. I've been to that part of Florida, yes.
Because the president is actually he's making history today.
It's very green there.
Is it?
Yes, indeed. It is, actually. A lot of Florida is green.
I haven't been to a whole lot of green parts of green Florida. It's all been sand and relatively, you know, palm trees aren't. Anyway, it's going to be greener after the president
be off the
visits.
Air in about 30 seconds.
Exactly. The president's going to visit there. He's hoping to make it greener because the reason he's going there is to visit the DeSoto Next Generation Solar Energy Center. He's going to give a speech about green jobs and clean energy, and then he's going to leave. And at the same time, Vice President Biden is going to be in Delaware, as we spoke to
less
Andrew
Eder. A less green place. Wilmington, Delaware.
I think that's safe to say. Yeah. He's going to be at an old GM assembly plant that was closed, but it's going to be reopening to make hybrid electric and fully electric cars by a company out of California called Fisker Automotive. So joining us to talk about green jobs today is Andrew Eder, as we spoke to earlier. He's the business reporter for the News Journal in Wilmington, Delaware. We also have Susan Hoffman, who's the editor of The Arcadian in Arcadia, Florida, on the line. And Bracken Hendricks joins us. Bracken is the senior fellow at Center for the American Progress. He also served as the advisor to the campaign and transition team of President Barack Obama. And he's the co-author of Apollo's Fire, Igniting America's Clean Energy Economy. And Bracken, you also served with President Clinton on his green energy team as well, correct?
That's right. Yes. There's a good history here that the Obama administration is building on, but President Obama is really showing a lot of leadership, I think, right now with the speech and by focusing his administration as he is today with, you know, two events simultaneously to really showcase how green means jobs. This is about investment.
Okay. Well, you've been helping to make environmental policy, obviously, for a long time here. And I'm just wondering to get a few details from you. For example, what constitutes a green job? For this plant that we were talking to Andrew Eder about in Wilmington, Delaware, they're going to make green, quote-unquote, green cars. They're hybrid electric and electric cars. But what about the people who manufacture the parts? Does that constitute a green job, even if they're in a supposedly polluting industry, just because they're manufacturing parts for a green car?
Well, that's, you're asking exactly the right question. We're used to thinking of the environment as sort of something off to the side. And what President Obama is doing here by talking about green jobs is just treating green industries as an emerging sector of the economy. And this is a place where a lot of investment is going to flow if we're going to really roll back global warming. So green jobs, it means new jobs that we'll create, you know, solar panel installers. They didn't exist before. Now we're going to need a whole lot of them to deploy a lot of new solar energy. That's true, but it also means jobs that you save. Automobile manufacturers, there will be a tremendous demand for the skills of auto workers as we try and produce a whole new generation of electric cars, new drivetrains, new propulsion systems. We're transforming those jobs as we save them. So we really need to think of it as a stream of investment.
I'm just wondering, at what point do we stop calling them green jobs? What about the trucker who picks up the cars in Wilmington, Delaware, and trucks them either to the train station or trucks them to California or wherever they're going? Is that a green job because he's hauling green cars?
Well, you know, I think the question you're asking is a really good one. When we think about IT jobs and the way that information technology completely transformed our economy, the very first wave of IT jobs were computer programmers, software designers, people laying fiber optic cable. But that's true. But now, today, a cop on the beat sitting in a squad car is directly doing data entry into an online database through a laptop mounted in his car. His job has been transformed by information technology. What you're talking about is a kind of a deeper transformation that will happen as we have to move the entire economy into a foundation of low-carbon energy. But if you look just specifically at the work of building clean energy, we are going to directly transform electricians and insulators who today are building leaky, inefficient buildings. Their skills and the work that they do every day will be put to use to do the jobs of a green-collar economy. And that worker will move from the current economy, the pollution-based economy, into doing work that's directly related to local investments in reducing carbon emissions and saving energy.
Okay, let's bring Susan Hoffman into the discussion. Susan, you're the editor of The Arcadian in Florida.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. And the president is visiting the DeSoto Next Generation Solar Energy Center today, which is going to be the largest photovoltaic plant in the country. But this is a place where we're not talking about ongoing jobs, right? We're talking about a lot of construction jobs up front, and then it's not going to require a lot of people to run this plant.
Exactly. Florida Power and Light estimated about 400 jobs during the building of the facility, but there will be very few jobs required to maintain it or keep it in operation.
So what is the reaction among the people of Arcadia to this?
Well, the people, I think, are excited about the solar plant because it is going to put Arcadia on the map. It will be able to power about 3,000 homes, they estimate. And this is only the first phase. FPL has in mind expanding this plant significantly over the next few years.
That's Florida Power and Light.
So yes, I'm sorry.
Bracken Hendricks, listening to Susan's story and to Andrew Eder's story, that the job is perhaps more important than the green, I think, you know, you've made some great investments, the Obama administration has, in talking about construction, although the amount of energy required to make photovoltaics, I think, exceeds the amount of energy they produce at this point in the technology. But let's talk about transportation for a minute. There are some who say you are making exactly the wrong investment in personal electric transportation when, in fact, the green solution would be to invest in public transit, which the Obama administration hasn't done nationally.
Actually, that's not true. You want to be investing in transforming our cars. I think, you know, people will continue to drive cars, and we need to move from reliance on imported oil to the use of electricity, which cuts carbon emissions 30%, even using today's coal-powered electricity. And as we get greener, those electric cars will get consistently greener. But in the Recovery Act, there was about $8.4 billion spent on transit projects.
A tiny pittance, in fact.
Certainly. Well, but about a 70% increase in transit spending. There was about several thousand percent increase in spending on smart grid, and overall about a 300% increase in spending on clean energy. Certainly, we're not spending nearly what we need to on transit or rail. But
Bracken, it's about the investment. It's about the big idea. Shifting away from personal transportation is the way to get green, not simply to clean up a few electric cars on the front end of the fleet.
I don't think it's an either or trade-off. We absolutely need to do both. You're absolutely right. What we need is choices. Today, when a consumer wants to get to a store, when a worker wants to get to work, or when you want to take your kid to daycare, you have to get in a car in most places in the country, and you have to burn oil. And what we want is to have choices. We want to have walkable communities. We want to have transit projects. We want to have rail. And when we do get in a car, we want to get in a car that doesn't pollute.
Andrew, let's go back to you. Andrew Eder is the business reporter for the News Journal in Wilmington, Delaware. And Andrew, this plant that's coming from the Fisker Auto Company, they're building a sedan there. And what? Tell me about these cars. Now, the very first car that I happen to know that Fisker was building cost almost $90,000. What car is this plant expected to produce?
Well, they're building a car. They will build a car, according to the company's plans, that's going to be a more family-oriented sedan. It's going to start retailing at about $48,000, but it's still under development, so we still don't know that, and they're probably not going to start building them until 2012.
Right. It's going to take a while to retrofit this plant to make it possible to create the cars there. So the number of jobs that are coming in, have they said that these are going to be locally sourced jobs, that local people are going to get them?
Well, we're still waiting. The official announcement is today. But, yes, by all indications, we have in Delaware in the past year, we've actually had two auto assembly plants close, a Chrysler plant and then this GM plant. So there's certainly a big workforce here that's just waiting to be tapped by this company.
And Susan Hoffman, the editor of the Arcadian, the construction jobs, are those coming from local people around Arcadia to build that solar plant there?
Some of them did, although I understand the company did bring in some skilled labor from other parts of the country who go around the country helping them build these solar plants.
What's the unemployment rate where you are?
The unemployment rate is hovering around 12%.
So 12% in Arcadia, Florida, 13% in Wilmington, Delaware. In Wilmington, Delaware, you won't see a huge number of jobs for a couple years, and in Arcadia, Florida, you're not going to see a huge influx of jobs.
No, we will not.
Bracken, very, very quickly, they're not going to see jobs for a few years. Is this delayed help?
Well, she was talking about 400 jobs in construction, a number of them local. When we talk about investing in the kind of transition that's needed to get to a green-collar economy, you're investing in areas that are growing faster. The number of green jobs has grown by about 9%, mm-hmm. while the jobs broadly have grown about 3%.
Okay.
These are faster-growing areas of the economy.
Okay.
And frankly, those construction jobs are desperately needed. There's over 1.5 million construction workers sitting out of
work.
The economy
okay.
right now.
Bracken Edwards is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. We also heard from Andrew Eder in Delaware and Susan Hoffman in Florida.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.